Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you. This is January 30th. We're going to be working on A Course in Miracles workbook lesson number 30 today. So let's jump right in. Let's take a good deep breath. Come to center. Being present. We follow the guidance of our brother Jesus as he shares this lesson with us today. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. The idea for today is the springboard for vision. From this idea will the world open up before you, and you will look upon it and see in it what you have never seen before, nor will what you saw before be even faintly visible to you. Today we're trying to use the new kind of projection. We're not attempting to get rid of what we do not like by seeing it outside. Instead, we're trying to see in the world what is in our minds and what we want to recognize is there. Thus, we're trying to join with what we see rather than keeping it apart from us. That is the fundamental difference between vision and the way you see. Today's idea should be applied as often as possible throughout the day. Whenever you have a moment or so, repeat it to yourself slowly, looking about you and trying to realize that the idea applies to everything you do now see, that you do see now, or could see now, if it were within the range of your sight. Real vision is not limited to concepts such as near and far. To help you begin to get used to this idea, try to think of things beyond your present range, as well as those you can actually see. As you apply today's idea, real vision is not only unlimited by space and distance, but it does not depend on the body's eyes at all. The mind is its only source. To aid in helping you to become more accustomed to this idea as well, devote several practice periods to applying today's idea with your eyes closed, using whatever subjects come to mind, and looking within rather than without. Today's idea applies equally to both. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. Let's take a good deep breath and a moment of silence together. Clearly, this is an important lesson. And yes, we have lots to learn and lots to look forward to because this really is a new way of seeing. Over the past few lessons, we've talked about seeing in particular. We've talked about, above all else, I want to see. And above all else, I want to see differently. And God is in everything I see was our lesson yesterday. But we're really opening up now. Yes, we are beginning to really open up that there is indeed a new way of seeing, and it begins with what we believe is possible. It begins with what we believe, because what we believe is being manifested as our experience. It goes back to our earlier lessons about thoughts being things and how important it is that we recognize that simple principle, that thoughts are things. And our experience in this world of form, we could say in this world of mind, if we're again referring, and of course you're probably going to get, maybe bored or even frustrated with me continuing to refer to the sleeping self at night, but it's such a wonderful metaphor for what's really going on in our experience right now, in this state of awakened mind. So when we look at the sleeping self at night, we can see that, yes, it's all about what it's experiencing in mind. He tells us here very clearly that the mind is its only source. In other words, it is the source of all that we're experiencing. Even what we're seeing outside of ourselves in an apparent physical form. The mind is still the source of what we're seeing, pointing us back to thoughts are things and that the world is reflective. And indeed it is. And as we begin to grasp this simple understanding, and it really is quite simple, as we begin to grasp it, that this truth, then we begin to see, if you will, with new eyes, because we'll begin to see that, oh, this, whatever's going on in my experience right now, is clearly a reflection of the energy that I have been holding in the past. And it could be past years. It could even be past lives. It can, in some cases, be in the past few moments. So I'll share an anecdotal story today that was really revealing to me at one point, to drive home the point, if you will, that this is so true, that the world is so reflective, and that we are attracting into our experience the energies that we're holding. So I will share with you that when I met my wife several years ago, one of the biggest obstacles that we had to deal with right off the bat was that we had an opposite perspective on politics, right? And, you know, when we're looking for a partnership in life, right, we're looking for that beloved person, you know, the ego's always like, oh, you need to find somebody that has the same interest and same, they see the world through the same eyes that you do, so then there's hardly any conflict and there's hardly any contrast and it makes life much easier. But I'm here to say now, and I didn't learn it till later, of course, in my life, but that the contrast, if you will, is where we glean the education, is where we begin to grasp new understandings. Because it's all just construct of mind, mind being the source of our experience. And so I've really enjoyed the experience, if you will, of a softening in my own mind, of a positionality about politics. And because I've been willing to soften my position because I love my wife and I respect her opinions, I've been looking into, if you will, some of the, well, I'll just say echo chambers that evolve around different political persuasions, political parties, and so forth. And I find it interesting. And what I do ultimately really, what I ultimately came to realize is that they're both basically doing the same thing. And I'm talking about the left and the right, if you will, in our Western culture. Our political system here is primarily of two parties. And while they definitely seem to be warring right now, here we are, January 30th of 2020, there seems to be a huge battle going on between our political parties. There's even a battle going on between our House of Congress and our Senate, et cetera, et cetera. And whenever you're listening to this, if you go back to January 30th of 2020, this is a historic time for our political parties as well. So the point I want to make is that I've been able to soften my perspective because I begin to see that both of these echo chambers are basically doing the same thing, the left or the right. They're just keeping people immersed in a particular thought system about how things should be. And rather than getting into a political discussion, I just want to share this little story with you, regardless of what your political persuasion might be. But the story is that we were driving down the street, literally, in town, visiting in a town where we were, I guess at that point we were living in that place. And so anyway, something came on to the news, and we rarely even listened to the news, but for some reason we had turned on the radio in the car, and we rarely do that. And we were listening to the news, and then a discussion ensued about the political perspective of the news. Was, you know, good or bad, and this person or that person. And yet next thing you know, we are in a heated battle, a heated argument, a heated discussion, and that I could feel the contraction in my body. I could feel my body literally contracting and me wanting to defend, and our voices getting louder because the ego needs to get louder and louder, you know, to add the volume, the strength of volume to its voice. It literally believes that if it yells louder, that the other, you know, it'll overcome the other person's perspective, or they'll be persuaded or maybe diminished by and give up the battle or whatever. I mean, it's all unconscious that we do these things quite unconsciously. But here we are, she and I, and having this heated discussion. And finally, we just looked at each other and we just turned off the radio. And we were just sitting there in silence. Pull up to a red light, and I pull away from the red light, and I didn't get another 50 feet, 100 feet, and I get pulled over by a policeman. So I pull off this kind of main road and off to a little side street there, and he pulls behind me. And this young man, literally, comes up to the car, up to my window because I was driving, and he was angry. I mean, he must have been having a heated argument with his partner who didn't get out of the car. I could see him in my rearview mirror that this other person is still in the car. And this guy was just ready to throw me under the jailhouse. Now, what did I done? What had I done wrong? I mean, that's, you know, my first question. Okay, wait a minute. I'm sitting at a stop sign or stoplight, a red light, and then we just take off, and I haven't even gone 100 feet, and there were cars in front of me. So how, you know, what could I have done that would have been, well, illegal, breaking the rules? And he said, well, you changed lanes back there, and you didn't put on a signal. But that had nothing, I'm here to tell you right now, that had nothing to do with the reason he pulled me over. It gave him an excuse to pull me over. It gave him an excuse to express rage, because that's what I was feeling. As you evolve consciously, you become more and more and more sensitive. It doesn't make us more special. It doesn't, you know, doesn't give you any special skills or anything like that. You already have all of those attributes. You being spirit, you being mind, you being joined with everyone, all of us around each other. We're all joined in mind all the time. We just believe we're separate. And so we operate as if we're separate, and we operate like, oh, I'm thinking differently than the person across from me or across the street or across the country. The point is, he was resonating, you see, with the same energy of anger that my wife and I had been holding this energy. And so this is, to me, a really clear example of the law of attraction, if you want to use that term. It is the resonance of our energy, because thoughts are things. Things are vibrations, and vibrations go out like a magnet, and they attract back to us at the center of our experience with things that are in co-resonance with that energy, whatever we're holding. And when you become angry and your voice goes louder, you and I both know that, you know, you're much more passionate, so you're adding more energy to that vibration. And it becomes a tsunami. I mean, it's huge, powerful vibration. It goes out and immediately attracted back to my experience, literally within 2 minutes, within seconds, literally. A co-resonant human being, a brother, who was having a similar energy. And he was just, and he didn't really attack me verbally. It was, I could feel that he was in a state of rage. And I had just come out of a state of, you know, very similar to that energy, a state of mind. The source of all things is mind, and we are joined in mind. We are joined and co-resonant with each other, and whatever energy we're putting out, love or fear, and anger is just a mask for fear. It is a defense for something that we're afraid of. Most often it's because the ego feels, at least in my experience, that it's not being respected, or maybe it's self-worth or self-esteem or self-image is being disrespected or harmed in some way. And so we'll get angry at other people who literally don't agree with us because we look to other people for self-validation of self-esteem and self-worth. It was really an amazing experience. And my wife and I both looked at each other and we knew. I mean, he took my license and he goes back to his car to check out my driving record or whatever. But we looked at each other and we like, oh my gosh. We knew immediately that we had attracted this. Because both of us were both holding that energy. And then suddenly, boom, here this guy was, evidently just behind us down the street. And him and his partner, or him and whoever, whatever his reason was to be angry about, was very present in his expression to me, and in the way he was treating us, and in the way he pulled us over, and for the, you know, not even a rational reason to pull us over, right? Really, yeah, I know that we have all kinds of weird laws out there, but they're just constructs. A behavior that somebody else has decided is either good or bad, and then somebody that we've given power to because, oh, we need protection from each other. I need protecting from this other person who's on the highway because maybe they will pull over in my lane and not respect me and my space in my car. Have you ever accidentally pulled over and cut somebody off? Of course you have. If you've ever driven, you won't drive long and you'll make a mistake like that. And it's not even a mistake, really. It's just not seeing, not spatially oriented and noticing that somebody's in a blind spot, possibly. But anyway, have you ever done that and then had somebody then, you know, hit the gas pedal and fly around you and flip you off and all, you know, all that stuff? Why would they do that? Why would they go into rage? We've heard about road rage was a popular phrase. Probably still is in some places. Why would we go into rage if somebody didn't hit us? They made a simple error of judgment, maybe couldn't see as well as they would certainly like to, and they don't want to put themselves in jeopardy. They certainly are not trying to hit you, because if they hit you, that means they're in an accident as well. I mean, we're not going around here looking to get into accidents, for goodness sakes. Oh, no. But we can't just look at the other person through the eyes of innocence. Can we see things differently? Let's take a good deep breath. And that's all that's ever required, is to pause and search our mind for the thoughts and watch the thoughts and see for ourselves. Listen, learn, and do. See for ourselves. There's another way of seeing things. This person's not thinking of me. In fact, if anything, this person may be thinking of everything but driving, and they just cut me off, and now I'm going to go into rage because this person, for whatever reason, is not being present and conscious. Is that a loving act? Well, you know the answer. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous behavior. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. But I can shut that off, or at least I can close it down to the point that I cannot hear the capital V voice for God. And you've heard me say, and I'll say it again frequently, the one thing that the ego cannot defend itself against is you ignoring it. You have, this is a fun way of expressing it, at least as far as I'm concerned, you have the power of ignorance. Right? We've heard that argument, you know, not guilty by reasons of insanity. But we say, oh, ignorance is no excuse. But ignorance, or ignoring something or someone, is an extremely powerful attribute that you have. Because whenever you're giving all of your awareness and attention to the ego thought system, and somebody cuts you off on the road and you're the one that goes into rage and you're the one that flips them off and you're the one that blows around them in your car and tries to run them off the road or whatever, just to show them how wrong they are. The only reason you would do that is because you are feeling guilty and about doing the very same thing yourself, and you've never let yourself off the hook for it. Somebody maybe even expressed that kind of rage at you when you did that, and you felt so much guilt, you felt so much shame, you felt such a blow to your self-esteem and self-worth that stayed in you literally, and you held on to it, and that's called vengeance or a grievance, a judgment that somebody laid on you, and now you've got all this guilt. And you know what? Even though you're not consciously aware of it moment by moment throughout your day, it's like a lump in there, in your system, your thought system, like a lump under the carpet kind of thing, right? And you just sweep it under the carpet and ignore it. But here's an opportunity. Oh, they did it, and you already see yourself as guilty, and so now you're going to project it out on them. You're projecting it out on the world, whoever, whatever, whatever it is, because then you're getting rid of it. Well, guess what? You're not getting rid of anything because you never forgave yourself, number one. And now you're going to feel guilty because you did that. And if you have done that, you know damn well what I'm saying. It's true. In each and every moment, instead of reacting to the thought system of the mind of ego, which is always operating out of fear, the other thing we could look at that and say is simply that's a cry for love. When somebody is acting out of fear, they're crying out for love. And it's just as we would hold a baby or not, you know, blame a child for its crying for love when it's feeling unsafe or just needing of love, needing of nurturing, needing of holding, needing of being held and loved or fed or cared for. We wouldn't yell and scream at the child for expressing the need for love. We can see it in this innocent child. Yet when the child grows up and they do exactly the same thing, they cry out for love, but they're doing it in a way that expresses some presentation that looks like anger towards us or rage or whatever it might be. And then we go, oh, they're guilty. And we need to attack back. You see, the only thing we can ever experience is either love or a cry for love from our brothers and sisters. And if we're experiencing love, God is in everything I see because God is in my mind and God is in my mind. And if God is in my mind and I'm recognizing that, not ignoring that, then I'm going to express from that mind. And what am I doing? I'm being loving. But I only have, it's a binary system, I only have one or two choices. I'm either expressing love because I'm come to center, I took a good deep breath, and I'm joined with the Holy Spirit, nothing more than my right mind, and I'm simply asking in dialogue and saying, what's the appropriate way for me to express love in this moment right now? And I'm driving down the road and somebody just cut me off. Maybe it's for me to back off a little bit and give them some extra room. Because I've made that mistake, and you know what? I didn't do it intentionally. It's very doubtful they did it intentionally. And even if they did it intentionally, they're not seeing through the eyes of love. They're seeing through the eyes of fear. They're crying for love. And I can share love with them, give love back. My job as a holy person, well, Tony, you know, Brother T, I am not a holy person. You know, that's somebody else that's done the work or done these things. And, you know, I'm going to tell you what a holy person is. And this was shared to me through Jesus, literally channeling through Paul Tuttle as Rajpur. And he explained that a holy person, here it is, ready, is an incredible friend. Can you be an incredible friend to someone? Absolutely. Can you be an incredible friend to a brother or sister that you don't even know? Absolutely. They cut you off. You take your foot off the gas. You take a good deep breath and you say, how can I be loving? This one is either in a hurry or distracted or something going on. I can see their innocence because now I'm joined with the mind of God and I simply ask, how can I be loving in this moment? Don't be surprised if you notice that you're backing off on that accelerator. Don't be surprised if you don't go into rage, that you're not angry, that you give them a pass and you withhold judgment. Because the truth is, you don't know what's going on with that person. Not that you couldn't know, but in order for you to know, you need to be present, you need to be tuned in, and you need to recognize that you're joined in mind with that person. And guess what? You need to do the first thing we talked about. Listen and learn before you do. And you can be ignorant of their problems, their issues, and act irrationally. And you can ignore this voice for love. And you know what? You can also ignore the voice for fear. All power under heaven and earth is yours. God is in everything I see. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind, and I only need to tap into the capital V voice for God. And what is that? That is your higher self, your true self. This is the elevated self in form that you're evolving to. You are evolving into the elevated capital S self of form. And we do it by giving that self, capital S self, an opportunity to be expressed. And it will do exactly what is necessary and needed to be the expression of love for everyone's benefit. Yours, as well as your brothers and sisters, because giving and receiving are one. We'll be talking about that. Whatever you give, you keep. So if you're giving out judgment, if you're giving out condemnation, if you're giving out rage and anger, you're literally keeping it as part of who and what you are, rather than forgiving it, moving back before you give it, and dispelling all the power that it could ever possibly have in any way, shape, or form. Love is real. Love is God. God is in my mind, and God is in everything I see. Because God is in my mind, and everything I see is a reflection of my consciousness, a reflection of my thoughts, a reflection of the voice, if you will, that I'm giving presence to and giving my awareness to. So today, we're just going to remember to take a good deep breath and practice our lesson just simply by repeating it. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. Yesterday, we practiced God is in everything I see, and we looked around and we said, God is in this pencil, God is in this table, God is in this chair. Today, we're just closing our eyes and we're looking within and we're saying, God is in my mind. I am not alone in here, so to speak. We could never be alone because God is in my mind. I love you, my brothers and sisters. I'll be back tomorrow. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens. is